Welcome to Your Q, an open invitation to come together, collaborate, and take action towards a more connected, informed, and thriving Douglas County. Your Q is all about celebrating, uplifting, and educating our community. Each week, we'll highlight the people, ideas, and organizations making a difference, and invite you to join us in shaping the future of Douglas County. Supported by the Ford Family Foundation and brought to you by Roseburg Schools. And now, Your Q on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Q. Thank you very much for joining us on another beautiful day here in Douglas County. We have some wonderful guests with us today. Really appreciative. These are people that many of our community members know. They serve on the Roseburg Schools Board of Education, and sometimes the community might not know them as well as we've had an opportunity to get to know them and you. They may see them in board meetings and looking at agendas and these action items, but today we want to spend some time getting to know the board and talk about what makes them tick and the things they love about the community. So welcome to each of you. Great to have you here. For our guests, I'm going to go ahead and have you introduce yourself. Dr. Bishop, I'll start with you.
I've been in this community for 10 years now. I grew up in Utah. I'm practicing with Cascade Orthopedics right now. And I love Oregon. I love Roseburg. I didn't grow up here, but this is my home.
Great. Thank you, and thank you for being here. Keith.
Well, I'm Keith Kubik, and I've lived in Douglas County for about 50, and Roseburg for about 55 years. I'm a native Oregonian. I came to Roseburg shortly after graduating from Portland State University, and was familiar with the timber industry because my family was in it, and began work for the county, and I worked and retired from Douglas County, full-time employment with Douglas County after 48 years.
Wow.
So been in the community and enjoy it, and I got here as of my first job and had the wonderful opportunity to stay with one employer for my whole career.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's great. Thank you. Ann?
I'm Ann Kremitz, and I have been in Roseburg for 13 years now, as of July 4th. So we celebrated that too. It's just been such a pleasure to be here. We came from Sacramento. I'm originally, though, from Denver, Colorado, and that's where I grew up and went to school, but didn't know really that much about Oregon. We lived in Sacramento for about 20 years, but I had a brother in Bend, but we would always go up the Klamath way, mm-hmm. and up to Bend. And one time we came from the east to the west to I-5, and we were just amazed and shocked at the, we don't particularly like the high desert feel, but coming to Roseburg and just the greenery and all the way down 5, mm-hmm. we were just sold. This is where we would want to be if we could be somewhere. So we just knew that, and we're waiting to retire and come.
That's great. You know, one thing that I notice when I'm traveling is right when you hit Douglas County, it's just so green, mm-hmm. and lush. It's like, I mean, that's an easy decision to make. It's like, yep, yeah. This is it.
That's how wonderful. It was.
And you are all contributing so much to our community. So I'd love to know what you love most about this area, about Douglas County.
Well, for us, as I said, the greenery and the beauty of it, but immediately we stopped in Roseburg, probably for gas, like a lot of people do, but we ended up eating here, and the people were just amazing. It's like we made friends at Burger King before we we even left. And they just chatted with us, welcomed us. And so for us, it was the people. We were so drawn to the warmth and the openness versus having lived in bigger city Sacramento.
I lived in the Midwest for a long time before moving to Oregon. Lived in Iowa and Michigan and Ohio. And the Midwest is full of great people, salt of the earth, mm-hmm. kind. When you drive through a neighborhood, your neighbors all wave to you. And when I moved here, I left, when I first interviewed here in Oregon, I left the Cincinnati area and it was full of snow and ice and slush and gray. And this was in March. I landed in Eugene and I thought, my goodness, it's the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. you know, and it was, I'd never seen so many shades of green. And then we came up here and people in this community were kind, and it reminded me a lot of the kindness and genuine feeling that I had in the Midwest. And so I was sold on the people and the green probably before I talked to anybody else.
Yeah.
Just everybody was kind to the hotel I checked into, and that's not the case everywhere. Mm-hmm. I've been places where that's not the mm-hmm. case.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
It's the place, but it's a place because it's small town America. It's a place because of the values that we hold in this community. Mm-hmm. It's the place because we're 90 miles from the High Cascades and 90 miles from the Oregon coast and on Interstate 5 and a small community and a great place for children. I mean, the values that this community has for what happens here and the kind of employment and the importance, or the importance that I had. And so we came here because, and then finally it was in Oregon. And I wanted to stay in Oregon with my career, but it was the place, and that's also the people.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we'll talk about board responsibilities and the work you're doing in a few minutes, but I do have a question for you, and probably good for our listeners to hear this. All of you are busy with lots of things. You've got outside interests and work and board responsibilities. I'm curious, what helps you, what kind of fills your proverbial bucket? What kind of rejuvenates you? What are the things that aside from your responsibilities you have, that you find a deep passion and appreciation for?
I am passionate about landscape photography. I think about it probably way more than I should and way more than my wife would like me to.
And you are quite a photographer. It's
I don't know about that, but I love it. I think my list of places I want to go is very long, and I'm very slowly knocking those down, but the list keeps growing.
What's your previous list? Give us a quick sample for our listeners of places you've been recently and places on your to-do list.
I've been to an area in Norway called Lofoten, which is in northern Norway, north of the Arctic Circle, Iceland, and all over Oregon. Yeah.
So where can people go to see your photography?
Instagram.
Oh, cool. There you go.
Yeah. What's your Instagram name?
BW Bishop Photo.
Okay, good to know.
There's some beautiful pictures there.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
how about you? What keeps you going and motivated and rejuvenated, Anne and Keith?
Go ahead.
Oh, I am just really a people person. And so the relationships that we've established here mm-hmm. have just far exceeded so many what we left behind. Mm-hmm. We just have made deeper connections here. And we love, like Keith said, the values of the people we've met. We're very like-minded. And it's just so home. It just feels home. So we're just happy to be here. I do travel. We do like to travel. We're retired. And so, but in all of our travels that we do, when we get right back into our area, it's just like it's peace to our soul.
Yeah.
And so nothing can replace that. It's
good to know when you're home and feel home again, right? Yeah.
That was beautifully put.
Yeah.
How about you, Keith?
Well, my motivation, probably first most, is my family. Mm-hmm. And having the right things, doing the right things, making their future brighter. The second one is my motivation, especially for here, was making a difference for the future. And it was my career field, it was my values, it was the things that I believe in. And if I believe in them, I stay with them. And then the motivation was also to be, I like being involved service, community service, public service, having a serving spirit, and taking that to whatever level I can to make people's lives better and help them achieve their objectives. That's been motivating for me for my whole career.
You have made an entire life of service with working for the county and now the school board. That is so admirable. How would you describe the importance of community service and also what personal fulfillment that gives you?
Well, first of all, it's a lot of work. And you can be involved at whatever level you wish to be involved with. And I encourage anybody listening to be involved. But the rewards, there are rewards by what the community achieves, what other people achieve, what you contribute, and how you help people. And, you know, there's not a lot of career fields. The medical field helps people every day. And I'd like just to think that I could help someone every day. And so that's all part of it. So how do I do that? I'd be involved and I'd be busy and I help this community. I help our education system, I hope, and I help build a better future. That's what my involvement in public service has been. And it is just a commitment I've always had. And it just came with the a DNA, I think.
Yeah, let's dive into this a little bit because the three of you spend a lot of time on this board. It's a commitment. And I have a front row seat to the amount of time that's spent to plan and organize and evaluate, to look at data, build budgets, support kids, and make sure we're on the right track for the future of our kids and their future in this community and beyond. So I'm curious, what there's lots of ways to serve in a community. What first inspired you to run for a school board position? Because many people we hear are like, oh, don't do that. Like, do a lot of things, but don't run for a school board. Because there's kind of a collective opinion among many that it's contentious. It's really involves a lot of, you know, fixing a lot of things that are broken. And there's a lot of really, you know, hard discussions to have around many things. So I'm curious, what was your inspiration to say, my service is going to involve service on a board?
I had a former school board member ask me if I was interested in running. I filled a spot for somebody who had stepped down. And a school board member said, hey, have you thought about doing this? And it wasn't on my radar, but I was looking for an opportunity to serve in the community. I grew up serving in various arenas, church, and many various volunteer organizations. And I was looking for a little bit better opportunity for that at that moment. And it definitely fulfilled the itch. It's not always easy to be on the school board, and sometimes the decisions are frustrating and hard and contentious and rewarding and exceptional and lovely. So, yeah. I love it. It's not, I mean, I love it so much I decided to do it again.
That's right. Exactly.
Was there anything that you had, any like kind of preconceptions that you had going into it that surprised you, that didn't end up being completely accurate to what you thought?
No, I did a lot of research before I looked into that. I talked to a lot of people, including Superintendent Corden. I asked a lot of questions to a lot of people, including the former school board member who stepped down. And I wanted to know as much as I could before throwing my hat in that arena. I'm not the fastest decision maker. And I'm one of those people who took me a year to decide what truck to buy because that's not a great characteristic, but I wanted to make the right decision, and I feel like I did.
So. I think that's a great characteristic, to be so thoughtful and intentional. Mm-hmm. So don't beat yourself up for that.
Yeah, that's great.
If I mentioned,
on the opposite, had no conception, no preconceived idea of what I was really going to be doing. I had worked in some of the schools in California, and then when I came here, I worked for the district a little bit of part-time as an IA. And so when I realized that there was an opening, I was actually serving in another organization volunteering, and they had a list of all these vacancies in Roseburg, all kinds of vacant positions for governing positions in Roseburg. And I thought, what the heck? Why? You know, I know a lot of good people. Why aren't people stepping up to the plate here? And I went down the list, and there was a school board. And I thought, well, that's the one I know the most about. And so that was my first really introduction to thinking about running for that position. And there were some concerns too about kind of the stuff that was going on just nationally, and so I thought, well, I think my voice could be beneficial there. And so that's what prompted me.
If you don't mind me asking, what were some of those concerns?
Well, at that time there was a lot of talk about things that had surfaced about curriculums and how things were being maybe infiltrated into public education. I just wanted to at least be aware, and if there were any guardrails that needed to be put up, I wanted to be a part of helping make those decisions.
Yeah.
to protect kids from what I felt was important, and also just the safety issues, wanting to really make sure that for our schools that we're providing as safe an environment as we could for them. Mm-hmm. So that was becoming more concerning as we were getting some problems across the country with violence in the schools.
Yeah. And Keith, you were on the board. This is another go around for
you. Yeah.
You've are nearing 20 years of service.
This is my 20th year.
20th year. This is the beginning of 20th year. That's right. So you were on the board for a decade and a half or so, and then you're back on the board. So we think about, inspiration to join the board and then come back and join the board again and serve in this capacity. Well, let's talk about you. What motivated you to do that? Get back in the arena again.
I have continued to be involved from when I was on the board for 18 years. I continue to be involved with the budget committee, I think almost the whole time.
Yep.
And several years was chair of the budget committee. So I kept my knowledge up. Why? Because something I valued and something I really believed in I believe in public education. I value public education. And if I value it, then I ought to stay with it. So I did. I think about, you asked when I, why I started way back when, and there were a couple of reasons. But, and in this particular case, your board is just operating really well. I was familiar with the system, and you lost a board member. And I did actually have a couple of people who encouraged me to consider, I think because of my knowledge. So I considered it, and I applied for appointment. I worked with this board, which is a superior board, very cohesive, very organized, very supportive of one another. And for that year, I said, I think I'd like to stay on this. I think I continue to make a contribution. I think it makes a difference for our community.
Yeah.
And I do try to represent the community. And so that's why I'm back.
Yeah. I love it.
That's great. And you've spent 20 years on the school board.
Right.
So
now,
you've seen a lot. I mean, from the inside, you've seen up and, you know, front and center. And you are so passionate about public education. So I'm curious, there seem to be, quite a few negative narratives around public education. And being someone that has been so close to that environment for so long, What are there some things that you feel are important for the community to understand about public education?
Well, philosophically, there's people that don't like or criticize public education, and it's for usually some philosophical point that isn't even happening in our schools and in Oregon. That's number one. Number two, there are a lot of people that speak about public education without full knowledge, and they ought to know more, because if you learn more, you'll know what a great job this school district is doing, wherever the complaints are and what comes and the public information. And that is why, if the critics are out there, then we should try to convey to them that their criticism may not be justified, and they need to learn more about our schools. Yeah. And being on the school board, I can help do that.
Mm. Yeah. What are some ways that community members can learn more about what's really happening?
Well, wow, we have a new newspaper out called The Current that's coming out quarterly. Number two, all of the school board's meetings are online, and you can go and watch and see what's happening and see what the issues are, and listen to whoever speaks. Three, and it's something I made notes on, if somebody wants to know what they can do, get involved at whatever level. We have advisory committees. We have, there's parent-teacher groups at each school. Mm-hmm. We have curriculum review committees. We have so many things that we like to share with people. And, well, what have I missed? I'd ask. those are just things. Those are ways to be involved.
We definitely want to encourage the community to watch your queue.
Yeah. Well.
How about you, Brandon? Do you have anything to speak on that topic?
No, I mean, I grew up going to public education, and it served me well. And you know, I have four kids, two of which have graduated from Roseburg High School. And next year, I'll have two more in Roseburg High School. And I just want to take the opportunity to make the schools the absolute best they can be for my kids and for those in the community.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing this.
That's great. Well, great discussion. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back to deepen this conversation. So
great. Stick with us.
Stick with us.
The conversation continues shortly. This is Your Cue on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. This is Your Cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to Your Cue. What a great discussion. We're really lucky to have our board members serving our community and being here on the show. I did want to ask, what's something that you, let me just preface with this. This board is very involved. You're involved in, you know, our kids and our staff. And you know our schools, and I really appreciate your proximity to our schools and our kids and our mission. And that's really, really commendable. So thank you for that. With that in mind, I do want to ask, what gives you hope about the future of our schools and our community as you become more familiar with some of the things happening? What does give you hope as you think about the future of our schools and the future of our community here related to our schools?
The school district has, you know, recently partnered with Community College, the Medical Pathways Program, the CTE programs. The fact that kids that are graduating are going on to amazing things, you know, in both the professional world and the academic world and the trades. This is not a stagnant community where people are only going into one area or one arena of interest. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people that are graduating from Roseburg High School that are going on to amazing, fulfilling, and well-compensated careers.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that on our board, we've invited student leadership, a couple of the leadership, probably seniors, I think most of them, or the few that have been on there, to share with us what's going on in the school. And when we have observed them and how they carry themselves and how they present and they represent our high school, especially, it's really encouraging that just seeing the quality of those young people that come and share with us. And some of the FFA program, they have shared and presented their program and all of it, their organization does on campus. And that is so effective. I think for our community, we're still somewhat of a rural area. And that has surprised me and in a lot of ways that I was not familiar with, even knowing that was such an active part of our school and how much we promote that. Yeah. So I've really appreciated being a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Keith. Yeah.
The fact that our test scores show increasing in learning at all levels of our system. Mm-hmm. One, I don't have numbers, but two, the number of scholarships the students in our school system obtain, mm-hmm, if this year and every year. Three, the fact that I believe that we're sending lifelong learners out of this public education system to do better in their life and careers. There's something else that I had in my mind, number four, but I don't know what it was.
It'll come back to you. It always does.
Yeah.
But those are things that really give me hope about our system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. I wanted to follow up on this. I think I've oftentimes wondered about, you know, we have a community we love. We've talked a lot about how the community is connected. We see each other. We value each other. Sometimes public schools can somehow, for some people, sit outside the community a little bit. Like we have our community, then there's kind of public schools. Maybe there's concerns about them or whatever that might be. My is I look at things like the death rate versus the birth rate. And we look at kind of an aging population. We have employers who are looking for employees. How important is it for you as board members that for the success long-term of our community, that we have public schools that we can be hopeful about, students we can be hopeful about? How important is it for this community, which we're not in a metro area, and so I know Dr. Bishop, for example, mm-hmm, you know, recruiting professionals here, so how important is it that we have a high-quality education experience for kids, give them a reason to be excited about a career, the opportunity to stay here, potentially grow here, raise their family here? I'm curious about that. We all love the community, and our schools represent oftentimes the best of our community in terms of the intellect of young people, the future and the promise there. How do you see that connection between schools doing well and a community being successful long term?
We have to serve the needs of the community. And I feel like Roseburg Schools is doing that. I mean, for example, the Medical Pathways Program. Mm-hmm. There is a massive need for many different medical careers. And a lot of those careers were typically trained in other places that we didn't have the ability to train here. And the college is getting more programs. The school district is getting in the early level to put people in that medical career pathway. So if they want to be a nurse or a physical therapy assistant or an EMT or a paramedic or a CNA or a radiology technician, all of those things, they can get in that pathway through the Roseburg Schools and the college. And that sets our community up long-term success. The hospital always has a hard time recruiting people. I don't understand exactly why. I mean, I love it here. I'm thrilled to be here. This is my home. But recruiting people is hard. There's mm-hmm. always so many jobs open at the hospital.
Yeah.
I think, too, we are trying to engage all of us on the school board, more businesses, whatever our contact circles are, because we need the businesses to work with us, whether it's maybe establishing some apprenticeship programs where they're willing to partner with us. Mm-hmm. And so I think I would put that out to the community that you need employees. We have them available. We're trying to work with them, but we need to work together that you do your part in providing and helping us develop that pathway for them. And the more we do that, we're going to draw more people here. You're going to have more business. Mm-hmm. We're going to have more young families come in because there'll be more opportunities. So we are currently a retirement community, but we don't have to remain that if we all work towards that goal.
Yeah. And something special does happen. I notice when you see those multi-generational connections happen, you know, mm-hmm. we've talked about this before with, mm-hmm. you know, salute to veterans and whatever the, whatever that might be, when you get sometimes a younger generation that hasn't had a chance to interact with business owners or vice versa, mm-hmm. how there's this increased optimism, like these kids are great mm-hmm. or those businesses want to help us. That is really the essence of a community mm-hmm. where you see that multi-generational synergy that happens. It's like that flywheel gets moving. Like, these kids are great. I'm supported here. And we've seen really good examples mm-hmm. of that here in our community, and more are necessary.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the robotics and the CTE mm-hmm. industry here mm-hmm. in the past, I think Douglas County was one industry focused. And the future is not going to be that. Mm-hmm. You know, I read an article the other day that second largest industry in America, excuse me, second largest industry in Oregon is healthcare. Well, I mean, that may change as well, mm-hmm. yeah, but there's a massive need and we need to serve the need of the community.
Yeah.
Whether that be through CTE, robotics, healthcare, we need to tailor our public education to the need. Mm-hmm. And I think Roseburg Schools is doing a great job of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this work.
I'd just like to add one point. Public education is part of the fiber of every community, urban and rural.
Yeah.
And the entirety of public education, which is activities and facilities and sports and community excitement, comes from schools, and they largely come from public schools. And that's part of the importance that I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this career pathway work that we're doing and that you guys have been working on really requires a vision. right? Like, it has to have a vision. We can't do that work without a vision. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that you have been working on as a board is the vision for the future for our students, which the strategic plan and all of the work that has gone into that. So a couple things. How important would you describe a vision, just having a vision to be, and some of the ways that you're incorporating that into what you're doing with the school board, with the strategic plan?
There were a lot of meetings to decide that strategic plan.
Yes, there were.
And there were a lot of opinions, and I had more than my fair share. But I think you want to do it right. And to find a plan that serves not only the educators and the students and the administrators and ultimately the community, that takes work. But it has to be a plan that unifies and that people can rally around and say, that's why we do this. That's why we do this, and point back to the strategic plan. And in the past, strategic plans did that. But, you know, they need to be changed and they need to be adapted and they need to be molded to the specific time and need.
Yes, that's very true. And how have you seen the outcome of that? Like, what strengths, what positive circumstances have come out of having a strategic plan in place?
Well, we just implemented a new strategic plan for this new school year. The past strategic plan focused on giving students what they needed to be successful, their most successful selves. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that in that students were emboldened to make the best decisions with the best circumstances for them, whatever that career that, or whatever choice that may be, whether that be college or trade school or, and we implemented programs tailored to that strategic plan. And I expect that we'll do the same based on the new strategic plan implemented this year.
It's important work.
Yeah.
I think the framework, it's been, there's like four main components of it. Because like you said, it's the students, the administrative professional development, because that needs to be in place, the systems that support that, our facilities, and that's a big part of it. We cannot do a lot of things if we don't have that in our mind and in our focus. So all of those components we've tried to incorporate into our plan, our strategic plan. And so it has taken work because we want to be sure that we get, and then we want the community also, we want to have the plan that will include them because they're an important part. And I think some of our previous ones maybe weren't as strong on that. But I think this one, we're definitely incorporating that.
Yeah.
Because we need all of us in Roseburg.
Yeah, it was a strong focus on community voice, mm-hmm, with the strat plan.
The plan sets some high expectations for the performance of these schools. Mm-hmm. And my observation is that the last 5 years, this district has let that plan lead a lot that goes on, and it will continue in the new plan. But I see it in publication. I see it in reports. I see it on the walls. I see it in professional development. And that's where it should be, because all those things are part of the success of that plan.
Yeah, I think one thing that's about this, about you as board members, that really stands out to me is, you know, many organizations will put together a strategic plan, strategic vision, but you've done a remarkable job over the last many years of holding the school district and the superintendent accountable for results, mm-hmm, on this. And so I think that is something that really should be stated, that the board has high expectations and it demands results, mm-hmm, but also holds themselves accountable, I think, as I do too, to make sure that we're reciprocally accountable to make sure the supports are in place to get those results. So I just want to say on behalf of the community, thank you for holding us accountable, because that's That's, I think, the improvements we've seen. There's been some significant improvements are because, not just because of a plan. Sometimes those sit on a shelf in some organizations. That's not been the case with this board, who uses that plan every time we meet to say, let's make sure we're focused on what we have decided is the most important thing, that North Star.
Yeah, that's so important, right? I love how your group, like the board, just keeps it in front of you. Everything that you approach, you're like, okay, hey, back to this, back to this. And I think that's really beneficial for any organization, right? To have that where everybody comes together and in that mission and in that vision. Yeah.
And it's like, we don't believe in unobtainable expectations. We, even if you talked about to the board about if every day 1%, did we do 1% better? Did we, it, and keeping that before all of our schools, our teachers, to just improvement, 1%. We're not painting an unobtainable vision.
Yeah.
There are things that can be obtained. And we know our kids are able, and we believe in them, and we believe our teachers are able to handle the circumstances that they're presented with. And we provide the support and tools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we keep pushing to our superintendent to do.
And I appreciate that push. So at times we'll get calls, I'll get calls from people out of state, maybe out of the area, calls from maybe a young family that has kids, and they'll sometimes call and they'll ask, yeah, so talk to me about your schools. You know, why should we attend schools? You know, your schools. What's the experience going to be for my kids? What can I expect? There's a lot of voices out there that oftentimes aren't just not accurate. They may be hearing about things in public education, could be a national narrative, could be here in Roseburg. What would you say as board members if a family were to approach you and say, why should I have my students in Roseburg schools? What's the experience that they'll receive? How would you respond to that?
I'm the only one here that has kids in the school district. My kids have been educated very well, and they've had great opportunities, and both athletically and academically and in other extracurricular activities. There are amazing educators at Roseburg Schools. Amazing. Top notch. Mm. Top tier. There are also some problems with Roseburg Schools. I mean, our schools are old. Our schools and our maintenance team does an exceptional job. Some of these buildings are 60, 70, 80, 100 years old. And anything 100 years old has some problems. I would be realistic if somebody asked me what to expect. I would say we have great education opportunities. We have great educators. But some of our buildings are challenging. And, you know, our community thus far hasn't shown that they value public education enough to support a bond. Not without trying. Not once, not twice, three times a failure. That doesn't mean that it's not important to keep trying.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate that. Keith and Ann?
Our kids deserve it.
Yeah.
We just, we do have the quality of kids that, and we have the teachers like Brandon. You're familiar because your kids have gone through the systems, and so the facilities though are becoming a real negligent part of that, because what the world requires now is higher tech in just the facilities, and to be able to teach them the higher tech courses. And so it's becoming increasingly a draw, you know, working against us, and it shouldn't have to be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, with the higher tech, but also our kids deserve to be cool when it's really hot outside and warm when it's really cold outside and
have clean air in the buildings.
And... yeah, clean air and no asbestos and all the things that like anybody, you know, it doesn't take much to know that those things are not good for our kids. And it's up to us as a community, because a lot of people don't know that it is bond dollars that is mm-hmm. specifically designated for facility maintenance. Yeah. And so anything that comes out of anything that the district, you know, applies to facility maintenance, that's coming out of our general fund, which is taking away from our kids' education. And I don't think many people know about that. Not enough, for sure. Mm-hmm. And that might be one of the reasons why we haven't passed a bond, I think, you know. But I mean, who knows? I mean, we have a lot of work to do as a community to come together in that shared vision. And I think that's just one of the areas. We have to take care of our youth. If we don't do that, then what are we doing what are we doing for our future? They are our future.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You guys are doing incredible work for the district. And, yeah, so I think that we are kind of nearing the end of this episode.
Yep.
So that would be your time for a cue, to give your cue to the community, something that you would like to encourage the community to do. Why don't we start with you, Ian?
I think the memory and a reminder that we all went through, most of us, public education, and somebody paid for that and cared enough about us. So I would just encourage that we make our investment in the future, and the kids are our future. And so we've enjoy what we do because we know we're serving the right cause for what's ahead. So I would encourage, like, if people are considering any kind of volunteer work, I would encourage you, it's so fulfilling to step up and not be afraid, not be intimidated, because it was new for me. But yet it is so rewarding, and it's such a great investment. So
it's awesome.
Oh, me. My cue would be positive, be proactive, be involved, and support one another, and learn more about our schools. And remember, one of the greatest gifts you can give someone is a foundation for a future. And public education is a major component of that foundation.
Very well said.
In the evening, sometimes my family gathers and we discuss the day and say a prayer. And we when it's my turn, I often talk about we should always look for opportunities to be kind and to serve others. You really never have no idea what's in somebody's heart and what's going on in their lives. So I think if we were all a little bit more kind and offered a little bit more grace, there'd be less contention and anger. So that's what I would encourage people to do. That's what I tell my kids.
Yeah, that's so important to keep in mind.
And those things will help make a community stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And have us be a little more connected. So that's wonderful. Well, great having you here today. Thanks so much for your insight, your wisdom, sharing yourselves and your time on the board and the community. We really, there's probably no other, very few positions that are as selfless as joining a school board. Take your time. It is worth also noting, Oregon does allow board members to be paid now. It's important for our community to realize that topic came up, and our board emphatically said no. This is volunteer service, and it's a great example of very selfless leadership. So thank you very much.
Yes, that says a lot. And thank you again for joining us on this episode. It's been such a pleasure to have you guys. And so that wraps up the radio portion of this episode. We are going to be continuing this conversation on the after show. You can check that out at the Roseburg Schools YouTube channel. You're going to want to, because we're going to dive deeper and get to know these incredible community leaders much better. So stick with us. And in the meantime, have a wonderful week.
Join us Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Or watch online on the Roseburg School's YouTube channel and the Your Q Facebook page. This show is built with our community, for our community. If you have an idea for a conversation that celebrates, uplifts, or educates Douglas County, or know someone we should feature, we'd love to connect. Reach out at yourq@roseburg.k12.or.us or message us on Facebook.